This is Corky Lang, and I am from the past.
This is Claude Morrison of the Nylons.
I'm Dan Hill.
Hi, this is Bob Mercer, author of the Top 100 Canadian Singles and the Top 100 Canadian Albums.
Hi there, this is Greg Godovitz of Gatto, and you're listening to Peter Morin of Oldies Without Borders. Enjoy.
It's Oldies Without Borders coming to you from the home studio this week on 101.5 The Hawk. I'm your host, the vinyl professor Peter Morin, alongside his trusty beagle. Banjo just walked into the studio. Remind me to keep that door closed. Coming up, it's my Saturday morning sit-down from the Oldies Without Borders archive. It's an interview with Susan Jacks. She was born August the 19th, 1944, from her time with the Poppy family. Here is Susan Jacks on 101.5 The Hawk.
Which way?
Without Borders remembers Canadian music history.
How long can something like that continue?
On 101.5 The Hawk.
I like the way you smile at me. I felt the heat that enveloped me. And what I saw, I like to see. Should have steered away from you. My friend told me to keep clear of you, but something drew me near to you. I never knew where evil grew.
From the recent Sonic the Hedgehog movie, that's Where Evil Grows from the Poppy family, here on Oldies Without Borders on 101.5 The Hawk. In before that, a song that was originally written for Terry Jacks to sing, and the original title was Which Way You Goin', Buddy? Susan Jacks had the idea to change the perspective from a male singer to a female singer, and they were looking around for a name. They didn't feel Buddy felt right. So they put in the name Billy, which also happens to be the name of Susan Jacks' brother. I interviewed Susan Jacks back in 2010, shortly after she had a kidney transplant, and her donor was her brother, Billy. In the course of our conversation, we talked about how the Poppy family began, her solo career, and cabbage rolls. Really. Hope you enjoy this interview from the Oldies Without Borders archives, here on 101.5 The Hawk.
But in terms of Canadian music, the stars were really aligned back in the late 60s and early 70s for you and Terry Jacks.
You know, it seemed that way. We were, actually, I started singing in out here in Haney, B.C., basically, is where I started. And I became a regular on a cross-Canada TV show called Music Hop. There were a lot of people, actually, that came from that show, the Guess Who, and Anne Marie was on the one in Halifax, and although she was on other shows in her area, but a lot of people came from that era. And I met Terry on that show. He was in a local band here called the Chessmen. Didn't really talk to him too much, but had heard a little bit later that his band had disbanded. And I was looking for a guitar player to play for me at a show that I was supposed to do. So I called and, I just needed one guitar player, just a little duet thing, and called and asked if he would play guitar for me, and he said sure. So that's kind of how it all started. And from then, you know, another gig would come up, and we started doing that. And I was still doing solo stuff, but if anything came up needing a duet, you know, I would go and sing with other bands and stuff, but... and then we added Craig McCaw, our guitar player, and then it started feeling like a band. Before that, it just felt like, you know, like I was just going out and using a guitar player. And then when Craig joined, it felt like a group then.
So you weren't really looking for each other, but you found each other.
Yeah.
So it was destiny and those stars getting aligned.
I guess so. We both had a certain feel about music, and it was not... you know, we weren't psychedelic rock at that point. I mean, that was what was really happening with Cream and all those, you know, just very out there bands, which I loved personally, but it's not what I was doing, you know.
Mm. Who else did you listen to besides Cream? That's interesting.
But I listened to everybody who was on the radio at that time, and, you know, I was a radio baby. But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do. I mean, I was so much into, you know, one of my favorite singers when I was just growing up, like just a kid, was Connie Francis. You know, I loved what she did. I thought she was a great singer, and believe it or not, you know, some of the crooners. Well, I wanted to be able to incorporate all these things that I'd grown up with, the music I grew up with, and somehow bring it up to date at that time. And I think it was just, you're right, it was in the stars.
My personal Poppy Family favorite of all time is kind of, starts out kind of weird. It's that's where I went wrong. It's kind of psychedelic, sort of middle of the road psychedelia, but still.
Yeah. Now, the one that I thought was, you're talking about There's No Blood and Bone. Now, that one was a little psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, when I say psychedelic, it was a little off the wall. But we did a few things that were a little bit, we did so much experimenting in the studio. And, for instance, with There's No Blood and Bone, it was kind of a dark song. And I did some narrating at the beginning of it and used it. I turned the tape by hand to get the sound of the voice going all weird. It's, you know, phased kind of, and very, very strange song. But funny enough, it's become quite a, I don't want to say cult favorite, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of people who have kind of rediscovered what we did, and that's one of the songs that they really liked, so.
You know, it's kind of interesting looking back at the history of the Poppy Family, and I guess it's because you've been a staple on Canadian radio for so long. The band was only together for a relatively short period of time. You know, Terry pulled the plug in 1970.
Well, what he did was he let Satwant and Craig go. To me, that was devastating because that was our sound. You know, that's what had made our sound, and I was quite devastated when that happened, you know, and he had made the decision to do that, and the thing was is that I found out later, actually recently, that Craig and Satwant were willing to, they wanted to move on anyway because it had become not fun anymore. So, you know, they moved on, and then basically after that, it was, you know, I felt like a solo singer after that. Again, I didn't feel there wasn't this sort of band thing that I loved.
As fate would have it, the stars would align, and you and Terry worked again in 1980, worked together in 1980.
Yeah. He had made an agreement with my record company that he would produce an album for me. So he produced, I think that was Ghosts, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. What was it like as a woman in the 70s and into the early 80s as a solo performer? What made it different from the collective that was the Poppy Family?
There wasn't really a lot of difference. I'll tell you when it did make a difference. When I say that, it's that even though I felt the group feeling behind me, I did the singing. So it didn't really change as far as, I still did the same kind of things. I did all my own harmonies, you know, all my own background vocals, and I obviously did the singing when I went out on my own. And I had basically done the singing with the Poppy Family, so that way it didn't really change. What did change was I had wanted to, you know, go out and explore and do different things, and so I got a chance to do that working with different producers and finding songs that I really liked, and so that was kind of exciting. It was, with the Poppy Family, nowadays I would be considered a co-producer, because I was in there every minute, and I was mixing, and I was, you know, we were discussing the sounds and experimenting together. But in those days, I was just a chick singer. That was part of the era. Women didn't get a heck of a lot of credit for anything, and I don't say that with any bitterness. It's just part of what it was at the time. Women's Lib was just, you know, making its way into society, and so, but it was kind of, that part was kind of frustrating. But as I got out on my own, I started to, even though I did use other producers, I I put it in their hands and I let them do it because I wanted to feel what it was like, you know, not to be hands-on and just totally concentrate on the singing and not be involved in the production. So I did that for a couple of albums. And when I went down to Nashville and did some producing, I found, and I went down there, gosh, 25 years ago, I found it hard for people to take me seriously. There's still a good old boy network out there in the music industry that doesn't really, doesn't always, at least, take women totally seriously. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have any idea how to. And so it took me a while to earn the respect of people, in especially in Nashville, which is definitely a good old boy network of people that work. And but I did ultimately receive respect from people because I stood my ground.
Well, I heard a rumor about when you were down in Nashville, and I just wanted you to confirm or deny this this rumor.
Uh-oh.
Did you really run a cabbage roll and pierogi place at a Nashville mall?
Yes. My husband and I did. It was it's called Pierogies, Please. We wanted to do something down there. Well, and Ted was, you know, he wanted to do something other than just sit home, you know, and at that point we only had green cards, or we didn't have green cards. We were just down there on my visa for me to sing. He wanted to do something, so we started up Pierogies, Please, and they loved them. Of course, we deep-fried them because everything down there is deep-fried.
Of course, yes.
And they were just delicious.
Never asked why, you never know what makes it end. You said I'll see you again soon, and we'll always be good friends. But when the night comes, and when I'm lonely, and when it's only you I need, I wonder will you be by me to perform a by, and the pain it grew. You must have known what I was going through, you know, but I never even heard a word from you. Is that what good friends do? Thank you.
Hi, this is Susan Jax. You're listening to Oldies Without Borders with the vinyl professor, Peter Morin.
Don't you know me anymore?
A cross-section of music featuring the voice of Susan Jax, both with and without the Poppy family. That's from 1976, and it's Anna Marie. And before that, it was Forever. And then with the Poppy family, That's Where I Went Wrong. I have to admit, in the last 17 or 18 years that I've been doing Oldies Without Borders, she was easily one of the friendliest interviewees on the show. For the latest information on Susan Jax, simply go to susanjax.com. Next week, it's a Saturday morning countdown of the top 10 songs to reach number 11. That's right, a top 10 countdown of songs that were never in the top 10. That's next Saturday morning here on Oldies Without Borders on 101.5 The Hawk. Tune in between 10 and noon. Still to come, I've got some music from the pen of Jerry Lieber. In the next set, we'll go cruising with both Smokey Robinson and Gene Vincent. But first, a Scottish band that took their name from a Frank Sinatra, Shelley Winters movie. That movie was called Meet Danny Wilson. And that was the name of Danny Wilson's debut album. A forgotten 45 from the summer of 1987. This is Mary's Prayer on 101.5 The Hawk.
Everything is wonderful. Being here is heavenly. Every single day she sends, everything is free. I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary's prayer? Suddenly the heavens rolled, suddenly the rain came down, suddenly was washed away, Mary that I knew. So when you find somebody you can think of me and celebrate. I made such a big mistake when I was Mary's prayer. So if I say,
Oldies on Shuffle. Oldies Without Borders on 101.5 The Hawk.
Let the music play.
cruising with the unmistakable style of Smokey Robinson here on Oldies Without Borders. That's from 1979. Before that, the Gene Vincent style, but we're cruising nonetheless. Jerry Lieber, the songwriter, passed away on this date in 2011. Jerry Lieber wrote a million songs along with Mike Stoller. Okay, not a million songs, but they were prolific. They wrote songs for Elvis, for Big Mama Thornton, for the Drifters, for the Coasters. Coming up, a couple of songs that you might not realize came from the pen and the creative genius of Lieber and Stoller. But first, an unusual number one song on Hamilton Radio. Unusual in that it didn't go to number one anywhere else. It went to number 18 on Billboard and number 10 on Toronto Radio. But here it was, in August of 1967, on top of the chart here in Hamilton. Here are Herman's Hermits with some good advice. Don't go out in the rain, here on 101.5 The Hawk.
Don't go out into the rain, you're gonna melt. Sugar, I know. Come and sit here by the fire for a spell. Sugar, how? Please take your shoes off and make yourself comfortable. The weather's miserable and you're so kissable. It's getting late, why don't you stay? It's after one, we've just begun. She's got to go, no. Please don't go. Don't go out into the rain, you're gonna melt. Sugar, come and sit here by the fire for a spell. Sugar, the house is ours now that everybody's gone. And while the telly's on, we should be having fun. It's getting late, why don't you wait? It's after one, we've just begun. She's got to go, no. Please don't go.
Classic tracks, deep cuts, and forgotten 45s. You're listening to Oldies Without Borders on 101.5 The Hawk.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out on the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. there watching. I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all. Then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day, he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep... I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment, 'cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
Soft and sweet and rainy. There is a rose in Spanish Harlem, a red rose up in Spanish Harlem, with eyes as black as coal that looks down in my soul. Starts a fire there, and then I lose control. I have to beg your pardon. I'm going to pick that rose and watch her as she grows in my garden. Thank you.
nose and watch her as she grows. In my garden
is a rose in Spanish
high. La la la.
Two songs written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. They had a little bit of help from Benny King, who had the idea for the song Spanish Harlem. And before that, a rather downbeat song, but a hit in 1969 and a Grammy Award winner in 1969 for Peggy Lee. And Is That All There Is? And that is just about all I have for you today here on Oldies Without Borders. Hope you can join me next Saturday morning from 10 until noon. If you'd like to email me, it's vinylprofessor@outlook.com. You can also like Oldies Without Borders on Facebook. I leave you with some car music. The Indy 500 goes tomorrow, so I thought I'll close out this week's edition of Oldies Without Borders with some songs that are all about cars, including this one from Gary Newman. Until next week, stay safe.
Young. story of the hot rod race when the Ford and the Mercury was setting a pace. That story's true, I'm here to say, cause I was a-driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and use them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, 411 gears that can really get lost. Got safety tubes and I'm not scared, the brakes are good and the tires are fair. We left San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. Everything went fine up the Grapevine Hill, we was passing cars like they was standing still. Sudden, like the flick of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by. The remark was made, that's the car for me, but within the taillight was all you could see. Well, the fellers ribbed me for being behind, so I started to make that Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it down into overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110, twisted the speedometer cable off the end, had my foot feet clear to the floor, says that's all there is, ain't no more. And I passed a truck, I crossed my fingers just for luck. The fenders clicking, the guardrail post, the guy beside me, white as a ghost. I guess they thought I had lost my sense. The telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. The lines in the road, they just look like dots. Smoke was rolling out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. I knew I could catch him and I hoped I could pass, but when I did, I'd be short on gas. Side. You can feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, hold on, I got a license to fly, and a Cadillac pulled over and let me by. Then all of a sudden, the rod started knocking. Down in the depths, she started a rocking. I looked in the mirror, and a red light was blinking. The cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. Well, they arrested me, and they put me in jail. I called my pop to go my bail. He said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't quit driving that hot rod Lincoln.